on the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on lees, of fat things full of marrow, wine on lees well refined. And he will destroy this mountain, the party that's cast over all people, and the veil that is spread out over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will be taken away from all earth. The Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our Lord. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This ends the scripture reading.
Thanks, Larry.
As our kids are, or our young people are leaving, I do want to tell you a story about my high school days. I was a freshman, and at my school, the sport was soccer. Right, soccer, and so I tried out for the soccer team as a freshman, and the rules are such that there's only so much time you can practice, but before practice starts, they had a week of conditioning, and in conditioning week, you basically ran, and then you ran some more, and you followed that up by running. And sometimes you would run for a long distance over a slow time, or at other times you got to run a short distance very, very quickly. But there was a lot of running, punctuated by moments of push-ups and sit-ups and all kinds of good times. One of the running things that we got to do, though, that as freshmen we didn't know was coming, we knew later on, but as freshmen we didn't know that this was going to happen. What they did was they lined us up, and then they said, find a partner. And so we ran sideways across the field carrying our partner. Now, when the words find a partner were uttered, all of the upperclassmen started fighting over the freshmen, probably the only time that happened, because as freshmen, we were much smaller than they were. And the upperclassman that found me was a guy that I went to church with, was a guy that had been a few years ahead of me going all the way up through school, so I knew him really well. His name was Paul Seitzema. And Paul was a big guy. And I was not. And so when that whistle blew and Paul hopped on my back and everyone else in my class, I was probably the smallest person in my class, and I lost those races badly. And Paul, being a big guy, didn't do too bad for being a big guy with me on his back. He did okay. I think it was later that same year that Paul and I were part of we went to the same church, and our church had a missions trip for youth. A missions trip for youth. God bless those chaperones. Okay? Just God bless the chaperones. And they carted us all the way from Muskegon, Michigan, all the way down to Americus, Georgia. And it was hot, it was wet, and it was sticky, and we were doing work for Habitat for Humanity, and it was, well, it should have been miserable. But Paul Seitzema, in addition to being somewhat heavy, was also one of the funniest human beings I have ever met. And if you have ever been here and laughed at something that I've said, in part, it's because I was paying attention to Paul Seitzema's sense of humor, because I saw that he made people laugh, and I liked that. I looked up to Paul. And he graduated and went on his way. one of the only people that I know that actually married his high school sweetheart. Right? Aww. And so beautiful. Paul, as I said, was a big guy. And as time went on, he got bigger and bigger and bigger. And maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, through the power of social media, I started to watch him change. He decided that he was too big. He decided that he was, that if he didn't make a change, his health would suffer. And he wouldn't be around for his wife and his two children. And so I started seeing pictures and videos of him doing these health shakes and different workouts that he would do. And while he was doing this stuff, he was really, really inspiring. And it was a really beautiful thing. And I laughed as I watched Paul because he had a way of just bringing you into his life. And it was great. And then, 4 years ago, on Halloween, his wife told him that they didn't have enough candy, and she sent him out to Target. And while he was in line at Target, two clots broke loose, and he died. It ticks me off. It really ticks me off that he died. That my friend died. Our call to worship this morning, I don't know if you noticed where it was from. It's a poem from Charles Wesley. If death my friend and me divide, thou dost not, Lord, my sorrow chide, or frown my tears to see. Restrain from passionate excess, thou bidst me mourn in calm distress for them that rest in thee. This morning, you may have noticed the bell and the candles, and we are going, after the sermon, we're going to remember All Saints' Day. All those who came before us, all those who influenced our life of faith, all those who encouraged us, all those who taught us something about God. Whether it was because they challenged us in their words or how they acted, you probably know someone that inspired you, who changed you, who pushed you, challenged you, who comforted you. You know someone in your life that had an impact on your walk of faith. It doesn't have to necessarily be your Sunday school teacher, or maybe it was. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe a grandparent. Somebody that touched your heart because Christ had touched their heart. Those who have gone on before us did things for us, whether they knew they were doing it or not. If you had asked Paul about John Van Dopp, he probably would have said something like, oh yeah, I think I remember him from high school. Yeah, I think our moms were friends or something. He probably didn't know me that well. He probably didn't know the inspiration and the impact that he had on me. This is from our scripture this morning. The comfort that God gives us. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. These words of comfort spoken through the prophet Isaiah, these words of comfort given to you and to me, that death does not have the final word. These words of comfort that we spoke as we remembered what Christ did for us this morning. These words of joy that are given to us, that death does not have the final say. Twice in our scripture today it said, on this mountain I will. On this mountain I will. God's promises of comfort are for you and for me. God's promises of comfort are there. And today, I don't know who it is you grieve for. And I'm going to invite Jana to come forward for the bell. And Hunter and Max, if you're back there somewhere, I'm going to invite you to come forward for the lighting of the candles. God promises us comfort. Grief is a heavy thing to bear. Grief is a challenging thing to bear. It manifests itself in so many different ways. In some ways, sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we're sad and we weep. Sometimes we're depressed and we feel nothing. Sometimes we feel grateful for the gift that that person was to us. Grief shows up in many ways, but Christ is our comfort because we know that death does not have the final word. We know that that is the case.